I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. I'd like us to look this morning, beginning in verse 28, and we'll read down to verse 31 with our attention focused this morning on verse 30. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He says, "And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father," and that's without the control of God. He says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I think you would agree with me that the Bible is filled with hundreds of memorable and repeatable verses. My wife will often say to my children, "The Bible says," and she will quote to my children, generally in a preaching format, a particular verse of Scripture. And such are the words, the God's word to us. And this morning I'd like us to look at one of those verses of Scripture that are both memorable and repeatable, and it's found here in verse 30 of Matthew 10, where he says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, to me, this verse is very, very interesting. In the first place, it's interesting because it's easy to grasp. All of us have a head, and most of us have hair on top of it. This verse is interesting to me because the hair on your head is very important to all of us. I think of the fact that our students come here to study such subjects as astronomy and zoology, physiology, biology, chemistry, physics, calculus. And yet when they wake up in the morning, what is more important to them? How the world has come into existence or what their hair looks like? I think we would all agree with us, our hair is very important. But this verse also is interesting to me because it arouses my curiosity. I mean, if he's numbered the hairs of your head, then what's the most natural question? How many hairs do I have on top of my head? And of course, when you need an answer as quick as possible, what do? You Google it. And yes, I Googled it. And you have somewhere between 100 to 150,000 hairs on top of your head. And it arouses my curiosity because who cares? I mean, really, most of us we don't have any means of counting the hairs on our head, and we don't really have a class here in school about the hairs on top of your head. And yet, it should arouse our curiosity because God Himself has numbered them, and God actually cares about them. But there's something else that is interesting to me about this verse, and that is, if God cares about the hairs of your head, on top of your head, if He cares that much about that which we really don't care about, then what about the rest of your life? What about the things that we actually care about? What about the things that we actually have cares about, the things that we worry about, the things that cause us to be anxious or to be fearful? Because actually what the Lord is writing here about is He's writing about the emotion of fear. He's telling us what to not be afraid of. And what does He do? He uses an emotional form of logic. He takes something that is very practical to us, the hairs on top of our head, and He's logically wanting to reason with us from a standpoint of what we call the lesser to the greater, or to be specific or technical, a fortiori. that he's taking the thing that logically we don't think that much about, and if he cares this much about this, what about the things in our life that are so important? So what we see this morning is really the nature of God, what he cares about, and what this conveys to us. So what does this convey to us? Let me give you a few things this morning I hope that will be helpful to you as he conveys to us that he's numbered the hairs of our head. Number one, he's conveyed to us clearly his sovereign control over all of life. He has numbered the hairs of your head, and it's written in such a way that it means this, that he has numbered the hairs of your head before the worlds were made. You see, God is eternal, and it's hard for us to understand that because we all live in time. We have a start date, we have an end date, and we live in that framework of time. We talk about 30 years ago. It's funny coming here to Bob Jones University. When you come here and people that have worked here for a long time, that their memory expands over all kinds of things that have happened at Bob Jones University. But a present day freshman can only think about what's going on right now. And that's why we'll hear freshmen or sophomores say things about Bob Jones today where you want to laugh at them because you have no idea. But we live in a framework of time. But God doesn't live in that framework of time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever because God is eternal. And everything that takes place in time actually already happened in eternity past in the mind of God. So it means that God has already numbered all the hairs of your head in eternity past. And what do we come to understand? Well, it's something that we really can't understand. But God is sovereign. God is in control. We use words in Scripture like predestination or foreordination, or we use words like providence. And all of those are speaking of the reality that God is in control. And God's foresight of our life extends to everything. When I got saved as a young Christian, I would often ask questions like, why was I born in this family? Why did I have these parents? Why did I grow up with this? Why did I not grow up with other things? And I would ask those questions, and in asking those questions, and as I would go back to the Scripture, the more that I read the Scripture, the more I realized that God was in control of everything. Where I was born, who my parents were, who my grandparents were. My parents, my mom and dad were. My dad's name was Bill Pettit. My mother, Eleanor. My mother was from South Georgia. My dad was from Lexington, Kentucky. They met when my dad was stationed at the Moody Air Base in Valdosta, Georgia in the early 1950s. And they met and were married on the 27th of November, 1954. And I was born on the 27th of November, 1955. I was their 1 year wedding anniversary present. My grandfather, Dr. A.B. Jones, delivered me into this world, into the Brooks County Hospital in a little small town called Quitman, Georgia. And my grandmother was a nurse. My grandfather went to Emory Medical School. My dad went to the University of Georgia to get his master's degree in agricultural economics. And then when we were 3 years old, we moved from Athens, Georgia. My little sister, Rossi, had been born. And we picked up and we moved to Columbia, South Carolina. And that's where I grew up. Those were my years of growing up. And I grew up, I was educated in the 60s. I went to the first grade around 1961 or 62. I went to high school in 1970, graduated from high school in 1974. So I grew up in the Vietnam rock and roll hippie era. That was the time. Do you remember the hippies? Remember, you used to have hair all the way down to their shoulders? My senior year in high school, I had hair all the way to my shoulders. I should bring that picture out and let you see what I actually used to look like. I didn't hear the gospel until I was really 17 years old. Didn't get saved. Got saved 2 years later, my freshman year of college. And when I look back and the tendency is to think, oh, if I had this or I'd had this, or if I'd grown up here or I had this different set of parents, I wouldn't have experienced this or this would have happened in my life. And folks, the older I've gotten in the Lord, God's number the hairs of my head before I ever even got saved. And I don't fully comprehend it. I don't really understand it. But when I cannot rise up to understand, I can bow down to worship. That we're talking about a God who is in sovereign control of all things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of your Son. If your hair turns gray, or if your hair turns loose, it is under the providential care of an all-wise and all-kind Father. And I can't fully explain that in light of the complications. And if I could say it this way, the tragedies of life that have come about because of man's sinfulness. But still, nonetheless, I have to at some point come back in my life to trust all things into the hands of a good, good Father. I often think of Job's response when he lost all that he had. And he made a very important statement, one that sometimes puzzles any of us if we've gone through any of his experiences, when he says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And what we learn from the response of Job is he acknowledged God as the first cause of all things. And I don't really think you'll really ever come to a settled peace in your life until you begin to accept God's sovereign control over all things. I think probably one of the great struggles of our students today and our student body is there a God who really is in control of my family, how He has made me, what has taken place in my life? Can I trust Him? Can I really come to a peace that God is in control? What did Jesus say? He says He has numbered the very hairs of your head. He is in control. But there's something else here, I think, that the Lord is conveying to us. And not only His sovereignty, His control, but secondly, He is definitely conveying His intimacy of us, His knowledge of us, His knowing us so well. The very hairs of your head have been all numbered. Now, surely this means that God cares more about you than you care about yourself, because most of you don't care about how many hairs you have on your head, at least to some degree. And yet God cares. God knows you better than anybody else knows you. Have you ever had a close friend who you really, really shared your most innermost thoughts with? And you knew they cared about you. Now, let me ask you a question. Did they ever ask you, "Hey, can I count the hairs on top of your head?" They've never done that. I've never had a doctor do that. My wife and I will celebrate this August our 41st wedding anniversary. My wife has never, in 41 years of marriage, say, "Steve, can I count the hairs of your head?" Well, obviously, God knows you better than anyone else knows you. And God knows things about you that you couldn't discover yourself. Have you ever had a physical problem and you went to the doctor with the hopes that he would discover what's wrong with you? And you go through a battery of tests just trying to figure out what's wrong with me on the inside? Have you ever gone to someone for personal counseling because you're having an internal struggle emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and you just want to talk to somebody who really understands you, who can help you think the right way? I remember very clearly when I went through a real struggle. I think probably, I'm going to guess, my 7th or 8th year of marriage and my 7th or 8th year of ministry. I was struggling with some things on the inside, and I've been an evangelist for 2 or 3 years, and it's really hard as an evangelist to tell somebody you have a problem. And I did. And it was affecting me. And fact is, my wife said to me one day, I remember exactly where we were. We were coming out of Cincinnati, Ohio, on I-75, driving south. We were in Kentucky. And my wife turned to me just like a wife can do the husband and says, "You want something from me I can't give you. You need to go to God." And so I remember trying to find somebody who I could talk to. And I remember going to people and I was afraid to open up and really share where I was. And finally, I went to a particular individual, specifically Les Olala. And I got about halfway out in my conversation. He looked at me, he said, "Oh, I know exactly what you're going through." And boom, he actually could speak to my heart as a counselor and share with me where I was and how I needed to think. And he did it in such a compassionate, comforting way. The Lord knows you so well that he knows everything about you. And he himself has told us that he is a wonderful counselor. That's why often when you read the Word of God and you're struggling internally, that God begins to answer you directly from his Word. He speaks to you. You understand this. You've gone through trials. You've gone through heartaches. You've gone through difficulties. And what does the Word of God do for you? You've gone through disappointments. You've gone through mistreatments. And you read the Word. And what does it do? It answers to your heart. He has numbered the very hairs that are on top of your head. He concentrates his omniscience on you. And there's not another person in the world that he is focused on any more than he is on you. Have you ever wanted to have a conversation with somebody and you knew you couldn't get their attention? And God puts his attention on all of us, his full weight of his omniscience on where we are. What does it tell us? It tells us that surely God loves us in a deeply intimate way. Think about how much God thinks about you. If you've ever been lonely, if you've ever just wished somebody would reach out with a text or a phone call or call you up or "What are you doing tonight?" And yet the Lord is so intimately related to you that he's numbered the very hairs of your head. And surely this means that God will care for you throughout the whole of your life, for he's not only numbered the hairs of your head today, but he will tomorrow. And he will for the rest of your life. He will care for his own. So how do we respond to this? Well, obviously, we should give God everything in our life, even the little things like the hair on top of your head. I am reminded of the woman who came to Jesus and she bathed his feet with her tears and she dried his feet with her hair. And in this complete abandonment and trust that you can trust God because he is so intimately aware and cares about your life. But there's something else I think here the Lord is conveying to us. And obviously there are many things the Lord's conveying. There's no way we could talk forever about the Lord's care just from this verse. But I think the third thing he's conveying here is not only his intimacy in his sovereignty, but thirdly, he is conveying to us, if I could say it this way, our value, or maybe I could say it this way, our significance. And I think specifically here, he's speaking to his own disciples. So he's actually conveying to them how important they are to him, that he's numbered the hairs of your head. If you think about the disciples, they were like what Paul said. They weren't wise. They weren't noble. They weren't mighty. They didn't come from the high rank, the highly educated. I think we all know that. And yet the Lord says they were so significant. They were of so much value to the Father that he has numbered the very hairs of their head. Think of it this way. If you own 40 acres of land and you wanted to sell the property, how many of the trees on the land would you count? Would you count them all? Before I came here to Bob Jones, we owned a 40-acre piece of land up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. And it was classic Northwoods, Wisconsin. Beautiful. Huge trees. It was a veritable jungle of animals that came through our front yard. And when we sold that, we had hundreds of trees on that piece of property. We had monster trees, I mean, that stood straight up and they went scores of feet up. But you know what? I never counted one tree on that property before I sold it. It wasn't that important to me. But let me ask you a question. If you owned a jewelry store and you were going to sell the jewelry store, would you count every single diamond and jewel and necklace and earrings in that store? And the answer is yes. Why? Because obviously what's in the store is far more important than the store itself. Every ring, every necklace, every stone. And think about it. If the hairs of your head are worth so much that God has registered them in eternity, what about the rest of you? What about your soul? Obviously, your soul is of more value. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is Jesus saying? Don't fear the person that can take your body. Fear the person that can take both body and soul and cast them into hell. We are to be God-centered, God-focused people. The Lord has placed such a value on His children that He gave them the greatest prize that He had, His own Son. His own Son to die for you, to go to a cross, to bear in His body the Father's own judgment against sin. His own wrath was borne on His Son so that you and I can become His sons and daughters. The value of your soul. That's why soul winning is of great value and should be what consumes us. And that is the development of the person, the people. Last week I mentioned I went down to Florida to honor Tom Farrell for the wonderful work that he's done over his life. That was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I drove up to Boone, North Carolina in the late afternoon, spent the night, and I spent all day long the next day at a ministry there that I'm sure you've heard of, Samaritan's Purse. The reason I went there is because the vice president of Samaritan's Purse was a childhood friend of mine. We went to elementary school together. We went to high school together. And we went to college together. In high school, we not only played on the football and soccer team, but we played the exact same position on the football team. When we went to college, both of us went to the Citadel. He went a year before me, but we were in the exact same company and we were in the exact same major. We were both business majors. His name is Jim Harrelson. When we were in high school, both of us were unsaved. Both of us went to Bible studies. Both of us talked about the Lord. But when I went to college my freshman year, I got saved and he didn't. His senior year, I was a junior. I took him out to eat, I think it was at a Denny's restaurant. Spent an hour and a half with him, walked through the gospel, pled with him to get saved. He didn't get saved. He graduated, went into the banking industry, and he was working at a bank in the Washington, D.C. area 4 years later, 1981, and he got saved. And he writes me a letter when I'm a youth pastor up in Michigan, and I had already graduated from Bob Jones Seminary, and he writes me to thank me. I don't see him again until about 1986, 1987, when I'm in evangelism, and he is in graduate school at Columbia Bible College, or what we know today as CIU down in Columbia, South Carolina. In between that, He had spent around three years as a missionary with the Africa Inland Mission in Sudan and Rwanda. And he was in Rwanda during the Hutu and Tutsi rebellion fight. And while he was a student at Columbia International, he got a phone call. He had been praying, by the way, he had been praying about going to Somalia to be a missionary because he had been over there and he understood what was going on. And he gets a phone call, interestingly, while he's at Columbia International University from a fellow named Franklin Graham. And says, I've heard about you and wanted to know if you'd be interested. We'd like to send you to Somalia to do mission work. So he goes to Somalia. He said, have you ever heard of Black Hawk Down? He said, I was there when it happened, a mile and a half away, and I could hear the gun battles going on. He comes back to the United States, and he is asked if he would be willing to lead a ministry that was about a year old. They just started it. And that is that they would send Christmas boxes to children all over the world, and with it they would send a gospel witness, not just in a tract form, but actually somebody to go present the gospel, share Jesus Christ with them, and trying to lead them to the Lord. That's called Operation Christmas Child. It was 1 year old. And he became the head of Operation Christmas Child, and he's been the head of it since 1993, 1994. So I went to spend last Thursday with him. I've seen him once in probably 30 plus years. And we both laughed. We both talked about how we grew up. And here both of us are doing what we're doing today. And as he sat there, I was actually rebuked at his passion. The people there call him Father Abraham because he has so many children. He said his first year they sent out 11,000 boxes with the gospel going out. I said, how many did you send out last year? He said 9.2 million. I didn't know how to respond other than cool. I mean, I could say amen, but amen cool. And I just couldn't help but think about the fact of how it is that God cares so much about the individual, the intimacy that he has with every one of us who are his children. He has numbered the hairs of our head. That leads me to one final thought. And that is, when he says he's numbered the hairs of our head, I think it conveys to us not only intimacy, value, significance, sovereignty, but I think it conveys unto us God's preservation of his own people. Throughout the Old Testament in particular, God uses the hair of your head to convey that God preserves his people. For example, in 1 Samuel 14:45, Saul, the king, wanted to take his son Jonathan's life. Listen to what it says. Then the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has worked this great salvation in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. It was a metaphor in the Old Testament of God's preservation and protection of his people. And surely the most famous statement in the Old Testament is found in Daniel chapter 3, when the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, because they would not bow the knee to the idol, were thrown into the fiery furnace. And there was one in the fiery furnace with them, four of them together, one likened unto the Son of God, Jesus in a pre-incarnate form, there to protect and to preserve his own. And when they survived the fire, listen to what Daniel writes in chapter 3, verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. And in Luke 21, verse 18, Jesus says, but not a hair of your head will perish. What does God promise? Where we go through fire, where we go through accidents, where we go through calamities, where we go through diseases, where we face wars and persecutions. He says, not a hair of your head will perish. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about God's preservation of his own. God knows who he has bought. He will have that which he has purchased, even to the last hair. You are insured. You have insurance. You are insured through the blood of Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. That if God has bought you, he will preserve you, and he will bring you unto himself. And so, what's the so what? The so what is what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Anxiety, fear, various causes of depression. We are buoyed. We are lifted up. We are raised up by the fact that God has numbered the very hairs of our head, that he obviously knows us and he cares for us. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value. There's the logic. You are of more value than many sparrows. How wonderful it is to know that God values us, that God is in control of our lives. He knows us. He preserves us. Monday evening, once a month, I'm involved in a Zoom Bible study. That Bible study is with classmates that I had when I was a cadet at the Citadel. To be frankly honest with you, it's a bunch of really old guys. These are all guys I knew when they were young. So when I look at them, I'm going, whoa, I don't know if I recognize you. There's a gentleman that's a part of that. He had pastored many years in Somerville, South Carolina. He was a guy that I had discipled when I was a senior. He was a sophomore. His name is Pepe Dutart. And Pepe's wife, Alice, has had cancer for quite some time. And 5:30 in the morning on this past Monday, his wife, Alice, went to be with the Lord. And so he got on Marco Polo. You know what I mean by that? If you don't know what I mean by that, just ask tech people. So he got on Marco Polo, and his wife had just passed away. And he said one of the most, in just a very simple, from his heart, expressing his confidence in grace in the Lord in the midst of his sorrow and difficulty, of God's preservation and his confidence that he has in God's promise for his wife. God has numbered the hairs of our head, and he is going to preserve us, and he's going to care for us. So let's rejoice in that today, and let's go about our day knowing that God has numbered the hairs of our head. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your people who have so faithfully served here. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that we can brag and boast about your care for us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful here at Bob Jones University and be true to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. See you in 2 weeks.